Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
We're gathered together in the sight of God to join together Patrick and Leah in the bonds of holy matrimony. Patrick and Leah, would you turn and face each other, please? And Patrick, would you please repeat after me? I, Patrick, take this woman,
expect this woman
to be my lawfully wedded wife,
to coddle me all of my life,
to have and to hold from this day forward,
to boss and to ignore from this day forward,
for better, for worse,
as long as I'm first,
for richer, for poorer,
for richer, or will amass an enormous amount of debt, but
in sickness and in health,
in sickness and in health, but don't expect me to hold your hair when you get sick,
forsaking all others
except maybe my mother.
I promise to be faithful as long as I live.
I promise to be faithful as long as you remain attractive and you never point out any of my faults.
I give you all that I am.
I give you all that I am. But don't expect me to share my feelings, my hopes, my dreams, any of that stuff. No.
Do you, Patrick, promise these things in front of God and this group of witnesses?
I'm sure. Why not? Yeah, let's do this.
Now, Leah, repeat after me. I, Leah, take this man,
expect this man
to be my lawfully wedded husband,
to be my lawfully indebted husband,
to have and to hold from this day forward,
to shape and to mold from this day forward,
for better, for worse,
for better or for worst, as long as I'm first.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer or poorer, but that's why they make credit cards.
In sickness and in health.
We're young. We'll never have to worry about sickness. So in sickness and in health.
Forsaking all others.
Forsaking all others. Except for my friends and my family and my job and my church and all of my hobbies. Yeah, that's it.
I'm completely yours.
I am completely yours, most of the time.
For as long as we both shall live.
Until we're old and gray and wrinkly and we're sitting in cute little rocking chairs just staring into each other's eyes.
Leah, do you promise these things in front of God and all these witnesses?
I'm not sure if he's taking this as seriously as I am. What if he's not? Oh my gosh, like I need him to fulfill all of my dreams, to make me feel complete. You complete me, I need him to say that. But okay, we're here. Okay, we're here and I'm wearing this dress. It was expensive and I will never fit into it again. So let's do this thing. Yeah, yes I do.
Then by the power vested in me by God and the great state of Louisiana, I now pronounce you husband and wife. Patrick, you may kiss your bride. I'm thrilled to introduce you today, Leah and Patrick Conti. Give them a good hand.
Come on, let's clap our hands for the newlyweds. They're going to need all the encouragement they can get. Hey, I appreciate Pat and Leah, and they wanted me to let you know they'll be doing a money dance right out here, right after service. Hey, seriously, they're going to Africa, I think, in April or May. So if you would, God lays on your heart to help them out, obviously by their vows. They've got a lot of reality hitting them pretty soon, and so we want to do everything we can for them. How many of you were like that when you got married? You were just so excited about everything that you expected that other person was going to do for you. And so, you know, you're just kind of all excited, looking forward to it. Isn't it interesting how all of the things that we say at our wedding, that's none of the reasons that we got married. We got married for all of the other reasons. And so, you know, what'll be interesting is to see the sequel to that play next week, which is, we'll call Married with Children. All right? We'd like to see that. And so, you know, it's interesting. You ever noticed that romantic movies don't have sequels? You ever notice that? None of my wife's favorite movies have sequels. Because who wants to watch the sequel to that? You know, everything kind of leads up, and there's finally that moment. And if life could just stop at that moment, everything would be great. All my movies have sequels because it's all about fighting. And there's always somebody else to fight. I mean, they've made 14 Rockies, and I sat in my couch all day long. I don't know if anybody else did, and watched the Planet of the Apes marathon. Did anybody catch that? I can watch Planet of the Apes all day long. And so, you know, it's fighting movies have sequels. Love movies never have sequels. Here's the problem. Life doesn't stop at the end of the love movie. There is a sequel. The question is just which one you live in. You know, you might have started out Romeo and Juliet. You ended up with Rambo. First Blood. Who's out? You started out with Gone with the Wind, and then you look up, it's gone in 60 seconds. And so, you can clap your hands for that. I've never seen that movie. I don't know what it's about. And so here's the thing. You know, as we talk about, you know, an amazing family, a lot of times we thought our family was going to be amazing, but we find ourselves living a sequel that we had never planned on. And we, you know, we find ourselves disappointed because we had held up family, whether it's marriage, kids, maybe our relationship with our parents. We had always believed, just like this play had, we had expectations of what family would do for us. And the truth is, all of us got into it for that. You know, we were excited about what our spouse was going to do for us. We were excited at some point about everything that kids would bring into our lives. And boy, do we get surprised. You know, or maybe we're, even with our parents, we're expecting a moment with them that is just going to fulfill us. And we put all of our hopes and dreams in that. And then we're living a sequel that we just don't like. And we end up disappointed. You know, I was reading from a guy the other day, a guy named Jimmy Evans. He's a kind of a Christian marriage expert. He says the number one reason for divorce is disappointment. It's not finances. It's not even communication. It's, I didn't sign up for this. Where is the life that I wanted? And so as we talk about the difference between a family that's a mess, and usually a family that's a mess is a family that's disappointing. Again, whether marriage, kids, whatever. And a family that's amazing, the key is that we go back to God's word and not put on family our expectations, but find out what God really wanted family to be all about. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 is probably, go home and read the whole chapter later. It's probably the best chapter on family and instruction for family in the whole Bible. If you're just going to read one chapter on family, because Paul covers everything here. But he kicks it off in Ephesians chapter 5 with kind of a little intro that's going to set the stage for the whole thing. And this gives us God's purpose for family. And so if we want our family to be amazing, we need to make sure that it's lining up with God's purpose. So look what he says here in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Now, what is he saying there? Once you have received God's love, then you show that love to someone else. So you want to imitate God. So we receive God's love, and then we show God's love. And then next, Paul gives us an example so we can figure out how to do that. He says, "And live a life of love just as Christ loved us." So he says, if you want to know how to act towards really all people, and he's going to put it to family later, then what you do is you just show the love that God has shown you. And if you want to see what that looks like, look at Jesus Christ. The love that he's shown us gives us the example of how to love others. And so that's a principle for all of our relationships. But later on in chapter 5, he applies it to our family. Now, I wanted to talk about verse 22, wives submit to your husbands, but Roxanne wouldn't let me. And so we're not going to do that. So look at verse 25. And here he applies to the family. He's talking about husbands, but I think he can apply to all of us. He says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." And here's the key today. We're talking about amazing family. An amazing family shows God's love. That's the purpose of family. We don't get into family for what we can receive from it. We shouldn't come to family with expectations of what it's going to do for us. We need to look at family kind of as God's purpose, as an opportunity to show love to others. And so here's, I believe, where it all starts, is knowing what we were created for. We were created for two things. Everybody in here, you were only really created for two things. Number one, to be an object of God's love, to receive God's love. And number two, to be an instrument of God's love. So we're created to be an object of God's love and then to be an instrument of God's love, to receive his love and to show his love. But it all starts with receiving the love of Jesus Christ. I like to say it this way. That's the top button on the shirt. You know, the other day, Jordan, he's 5 years old. He was getting himself dressed, and he's all excited that he can get himself dressed. I'm more excited that he can get himself dressed, but he's excited about it. And so he'd put on his jeans, he'd put on his socks, he'd put on his shoes, and he had a button-up shirt. And I said, well, son, do you want me to help you with that? He said, no, Dad, I got it. And here's what he didn't understand. He can do the buttons. So he had buttoned them together. The problem is he had just kind of put this button up here and this button down here, and then he got stuck and couldn't figure out why it wasn't working out because he knew how to do the buttons. And so I had to show him, no, undo that. What you do is you stop here, and if you get this one, or you start here, if you get this one, everything else lines up. See, a lot of times I think that's how our life is. We feel like we have the skills to handle life, to handle relationships, to handle the things that come at us, and we think that's enough, but we've started in the wrong place. If we begin by accepting God's love for us, then everything else in our life lines up. And it makes everything else so much easier. And it keeps us from being frustrated, and especially when it comes to family. Why is this marriage not working? Why are these kids not fulfilling me? Why are my parents not showing me the love and acceptance that I think I deserve? Why is it that I have everything that I always wanted, yet I don't feel like I have anything that I wanted on the inside? It's because we didn't start with the top. We've got to always start with the top. We begin by accepting the love of Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing, and here's where it really gets down to family. I'm only going to be disappointed if I expect any relationship to do for me what only God can do for me. I can't look for anyone else, whether it's a spouse, kids, friendships, parents. I can't expect anyone else to do for me what only God can do for me. And I thought about that as I read probably the most famous verse in the Old Testament, and that's Psalm 23. You probably, even if you weren't raised in church, you probably at some time heard the 23rd Psalm, which says this, the Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want. Think of what a powerful phrase that is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, I think it makes a lot of our families a mess, is we take Jesus out of that, and we put someone else in. You know, Joe is my husband, I shall not want. Susie is my wife, I shall not want. I finally have the 2.5 kids, I shall not want. And we get disappointed when we do that and we find out there's still something that we want. It still leaves us wanting. See, Jesus Christ is the only one that we can bring into our lives that doesn't leave us wanting anything else. And families become a mess when we look at someone else and say, you can give me what I've always wanted. We put that expectation on a parent that if you would just love me the way you were supposed to, then I would have everything that I wanted. We look at our spouse. We look at our children. If I could just have the perfect kids, then I would finally have everything that I want. And that's not true. And here's what I think all of us at our core want more than anything else. We want acceptance and affirmation. We want acceptance and affirmation. We want someone to tell us that we're important, that we're needed, that we're valuable, that we're worthy, that we're all of these things. We want that. And so what happens is when we find that anywhere else than Jesus Christ, we get disappointed and we set ourselves up for a mess. And you know, we should understand that because nobody can continually make us feel important. I mean, we should have learned that from Christmas. And here's where we see this principle. I mean, remember what kids are like before Christmas? I mean, if you're my age, I'm 42, almost 43. little bit older than Pastor Mike Heyman, but he is way more decrepit than me, if you see him over here. Can we clap our hands for Pastor Mike and Rachel? Tries to get a little time off, and look what happens to him. And so, you know, Christmas morning, if you're my age, do y'all remember the Sears and the Penney's catalog? I love the Sears and the Penney's catalog. Man, it would come in, it's about this thick. I couldn't do my homework, but I would make a binder for my parents. Start pulling stuff out. This is what I want. Because you feel at 10 years old, like, my life will be complete if I just have that helicopter. Or if your girl, that baby doll, or whatever it is. If I could just have this. And so, you know, you tell them and you're waiting. And that's the magic of Christmas morning, is we get what we've always wanted. And isn't it great as a parent, or when you give a gift, when you get it right? Don't you love that feeling? I mean, you just, man, you got it right. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And so Christmas morning, the child wakes up and they go and either they see it under the tree or they open up the box and, man, there it is. And they're so, I can't believe I got baby two-year-old or, you know, whatever it is. That's what my sister wanted one year. Woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning for baby two-year-old and my parents were furious. And so, you know, so they finally get it and their life is complete and you're so happy. And that's a great moment. But can you imagine the next day if your child woke up, saw the same thing in their closet, and just went nuts all over again? Oh, this is awesome. This is amazing. We know that doesn't happen. 2 months later, where is that toy? In the back of the closet, all broke, because that's just naturally what happens. And we know that. But for some reason, we expect our family to be continually excited about our presents. Just every day to always honor this. And so we set ourselves up for disappointment. Because here's what happens, and let me tell you how it happens in my life, and you're going to laugh. I got a lot of jokes between service about this. So I'll tell you how it happens in my life, and then you kind of apply this to your life, all right? I love Healing Place Church. And here's one of the reasons I love Healing Place Church, because people love me at Healing Place Church. They do. I mean, hopefully they love you too. We love you, especially if you're a first-time guest. We'll be right over there after service. And so, but here's the thing. And so, you know, like I'm preaching today, and you may or may not like this. You may afterwards think that's the worst sermon I've ever heard. Okay, but here's what sometimes happens, is I'll work, and I'll put energy into it, and you know, and people like it, and they tell me that they like it. And so I'll walk off, and again, please don't take this arrogant. I'm giving you my life, and you apply it however you want to. And so I'll come over here, and there's like three or four people saying, oh, Pastor Johnny, that was great. That was amazing. Thank you so much. You're so much better looking than the guy that was here last week. Just kidding. Just joking. All right. So they'll say, you know, thank you, Pastor. That was good. Man, God spoke. It's made a difference in my life. They'll text me. I mean, I'll be honest. You know, I'll check Twitter. Is anybody mentioning me on Twitter or Instagram? All that kind of stuff. Did anybody like me? You know, and so they'll get that. And so here's what happens. I love that. Who wouldn't love that? At our base, we are all just old dogs hanging around the people that scratch us on the back. All right? That's just who we are. So whoever kind of scratches our back, that's who we hang out with. So here's what happens in family. So I love that. And then I go home. All right? My wife loves me. Roxanne, can we clap our hands for Roxanne? She is beautiful today. Her green dress. And so here's the thing. She loves me, but she's not waiting at the door for me when I get home. I'll tell you what's waiting at the door for me. A dirty diaper is waiting at the door for me. All right? Don't leave that up here. And so... I go home. Roxanne's not waiting for me. You know, oh, you're so amazing. I love you so much. You're a wonderful husband. And then, you know, my kids aren't there. They used to be when they were smaller. Now they don't even talk to me when I go to their school. I'm going to have to get a dog so somebody's happy to see me when I get home. And so, you know, my kids aren't lined up. Why? Nobody can live like that every single day. And so here's what happens. And watch this principle. We get into family. Again, whether it's marriage, children, our parents, because we're looking for that affirmation. We're looking for that acceptance. So we get into family looking for that, expecting something from someone that truthfully they never can provide the way that we need it. And at first, maybe it kind of happens, but nobody can live like that. So then when we don't find it there, what do? We begin to look for it somewhere else. And so then here's the choice. If I know at Healing Place they love me, and at home they're not paying attention to me, where am I going to spend more time? Where am I going to spend more energy? Now look, it may be your work. It may be a hobby. It may be a group of people that you hang around. But all of a sudden, you begin to realize, I'm getting more affirmation here than I am at home. And here's the problem, because I could tell you this, that's going to happen. That happens to all of us. When it becomes a problem is when I always expected my wife to give me the affirmation that fulfills me. Or I expected, and I'm putting expectations on them that they could never fulfill. I'm setting me and them up for frustration and disappointment. And then I begin to put less energy over here because I feel like I'm getting the results that I need over here. And I put more energy here, and that only compounds the problem. And little by little, home, family, kids, parents, whatever it is, we start to drift. And then what do we say? We what? Fell out of love. Like we fell into love, like it was a manhole. We were just walking along. And one day, fell in love. Didn't mean to, didn't want to, fell in love, wasn't our fault. Then all of a sudden, we were walking along 15, 20, 3 years later, whatever it is, and we fell right back out of love. Because here's how our culture defines love. Love is how you make me feel about myself. See, that's not what God says, but that's what culture says. So because you're smart, you're pretty, you're wealthy, you're funny, you compliment me, you make me feel good about myself, and that gives me the feeling that I'm in love. And then when you don't give me that feeling anymore, now I'm out of love. And I fall in love with something or someone. And look, it doesn't have to be a person. It could be a job. It could be a hobby. And here's the thing, and I want you to catch this. Good people make bad decisions when they begin to get more acceptance somewhere else that they need because they haven't found fulfillment in Jesus Christ than they're getting at home. And that's what's scary. And we've got to know when that's starting to happen to us. Don't be like me. I don't know anything about cars. Check engine light comes on in my car. I'm good till the next inspection sticker. Maybe 3 months, it may be 11 months. That's fine for a 12-year-old expedition. That's not good for your marriage. You've got to know, wait, hold on. I'm more excited about going to work than I am about coming home. I'll tell you what's scary. I'm more excited about seeing this person than I am about seeing my own family. We've got to know when that happens. And that's got to be a check engine light. Say, hold on. And here's the thing. It's not, well, let me go find acceptance and love in my family. Because we're just setting ourselves up for another round if we do that. So let me go find fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Because when the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we've got to make sure that we have that. Thank you. You know, and once again, our example is Jesus Christ. You look at the way he started his ministry. It's in Matthew 3:17. He was baptized. He came out of the water. And it said, a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And you know what? I don't think that was for the crowd. It may have been. I think that was for him. Because you know what he was going to face? Trials, temptation, betrayal, rejection, abuse. The same thing all of us are going to face. And in that moment, if he were looking to the disciples for affirmation, he would have gotten off course. If he were looking at the religious leaders for affirmation to fill his cup, as it were, he would have gotten off course. He would have gotten hurt that those that he had poured his life into, I can't believe after all I've done for them that they rejected me. He could have very well gotten mad and just walked away from it all. You know why he didn't? Not because he was just, you know, holier. And look, he was God, so all that fits in. But I think it comes down to he understood what really filled his cup. He understood it doesn't matter what you think about me. God loves me and he's pleased with me. It doesn't matter that you love me or that you reject me. Because he faced temptation on both sides. People rejected him that he was close to, that he could have gotten angry at. And there was a lot of people, hey, let me tell you what I can do for you. Let me tell you what I can make. And you know what he said? I don't need that. I don't need that. I've got the love and acceptance of my Father. And when we have that, we can stay on course in every area of our life. And so an amazing family. Can you clap your hands again? Here's where an amazing family begins. Not looking to anyone else, no matter how close they are to me, to fill my cup and be my love and acceptance and to be the thing that I need. It starts with me hearing the voice of the Father. It says, you are my child, and I'm pleased with you and for us in Jesus Christ. And when we accept that, that frees us up then to not just be the object of God's love, but now to be an instrument of God's love. And we need to understand, an amazing family shows God's love. That's the purpose of family. That's the reason that God wanted people to get married. That's the reason that God wanted people to have children. That's the reason that God wanted us to parent and to honor our parents, was not that so we could be happy. Now look, all of that comes with it. Man, there's no greater joy. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. There's no greater joy than a family that is together and loving each other. But that's not why we do it. We do it to be an instrument of God's love. My job as a husband is to show love to Roxanne. That's my job. I don't look to her and depend on her showing love for me. I get filled up with God, and so then my job is to show love, is to show God to her. My job as a parent is not to get them to like me. It's for me to show God to them. And I've got to make sure I'm constantly doing that. And even to my parents and other relationships, the purpose of family is to show God's love. And here's the thing. Can I tell you this? I didn't say this in the first service, but I really believe this, that if the church of Jesus Christ would show the world what a biblical family is like, I don't think we'd ever have to do another outreach. I think our churches would be full because people are looking for that. And in our society, where we're trying to even find out what family means, because, you know, we're going this way, but what we had didn't even work for us, because it didn't work for us because we weren't following God's plan in the first place. And if we would show them what family is all about, I think our churches would be full. I think people would be coming to Christ. And so we've got to show God's love. How do we do that? I wrote down four things in the last few minutes we have together. How do I show God's love? I wrote down four things. The first thing is this: I commit to them. And I think it all starts there. The first thing I do is I commit to them. God's love is unconditional. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now look, I understand I'm not encouraging anyone to stay in an abusive situation, and sometimes it's dangerous, and there's all those other variables that we can talk about at another time. But for the most part, God intends us to commit to someone forever. We commit our life, I'll never leave you. And you know, again, going back to God's love, I think sometimes the problem we have, can you imagine waking up every single day having to earn God's love all over? Feeling like if you did the wrong thing, if you made the wrong choice, God wouldn't love you anymore. And I really think what's sad is a lot of people live like that. They had a good week, God loves them. They had a bad week, God doesn't love them. And that's not true. God's love is unconditional. So if I'm going to show God's love to my wife or to my kids, my love has to be unconditional. It can't be for all the things that you do for me. Because then if you stop doing those, I'm going to go find someone or something else or figure it out somehow. That's not the case. Man, we are committed to each other. And that builds security and stability that everyone else around us needs. You know, I think the most important thing that my wife could know is that I'm going to be with her forever. But I think probably even more important is that my kids know that. My kids have the stability in their home that mom and dad are going to be together forever. And look, let me tell you this. I know things have happened. And I'm not trying to bring guilt or condemnation to anyone else. But I would say this, in whatever your situation is right now, make sure it's stable. Make sure it is a committed covenant love to bring stability. Because then we show that. Then they understand what the love of God is like. And so I really think it all begins with commitment. I think the second thing is this. We commit to them. The second is we serve them. And here is my definition of serving. When you put someone else's concerns above your convenience, when you put someone else's concerns above your convenience, that's serving them. That's what Jesus did. And let's be honest, some things they're concerned about, we're not concerned about. We don't understand. I'm that person in our house. I'm concerned about way too many things. Roxanne will tell you that. She tells me three times a day, don't worry about that. Like, baby, that's what I do. I worry, if nothing else. And so here's how she shows me love. I can't stand a sink full of dirty dishes. I know sometimes in most families, it's the other way around. In us, that's me. I just can't. Now, I don't want to wash them, all right? Just kidding. Some of the time. But like, I don't like a sink full of dirty dishes. She could care less. Now, she knows, because here's what she knows. She knows, you know, before the night's over, I'm going to clean the dishes. I like a clean sink when I get home. And I know that's crazy because it's before dinner and all that. And you have kids, and I'm learning with kids, just clean once a month. Because as soon as you turn around, it's messed up again. All right. And she understood that way before I did. And so I'm concerned about a clean sink. She could care less about a clean sink. But a lot of times when I come home from work, you know what we have? A clean sink. She's serving me. She's showing me love. She's concerned about something that she's really not concerned about, but because of me. You know what else I love? I love like a stack of freshly folded towels. And I don't know why, because I only use about one a week. I mean, I'm a guy. But it just warms my heart to go in the bathroom, open up the cabinet, and there's a stack of freshly folded towels. And once again, she could care less. As long as there's a clean towel somewhere, but I'll come home most of the days, and there's a stack. What is she doing? She's showing me love. And here's the thing. That sounds like get away from the point. You know, that's what Jesus did. Jesus would serve people by being concerned with things that he really wasn't concerned with. And the best example was his very first miracle. What was his first miracle? He turned water into wine. Now look, I'm sure there were 100 other things that were more important to Jesus than turning water into wine. But if especially the bride's in here, you know what your wedding day is like. You just want it to be perfect. That's the day you've looked forward to your whole life. And Jesus understood that. And how easy would it have been for Jesus to say, what? She's worried about, does she know what I'm dealing with? I've got Satan waiting for me in the desert. I've got the Pharisees, the Sadducees. I've got all this kind of stuff. And she wants me to do, he didn't say that. You know what he did? It's important to you. It's important to me. Let me serve you in this, even though it doesn't even concern me. And a lot of times, especially in a marriage, we've got to serve each other by putting their concerns above our convenience. I think the third thing is this. So we commit to them, we serve them, and we care for them. And it sounds a lot like serving, but here's where I think it's different. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was a man of sorrows. And it says, I love this phrase, acquainted with grief. And that's an interesting phrase, and it gives me a lot of hope at funerals because I'm talking to a family that I have absolutely, a lot of times, no idea what they're going through. And that means God just doesn't know that's your suffering. God just doesn't tell you 3 points to get out of your suffering. He understands your suffering. He's with you in it. I mean, how easy would it be for God to say, really, having a hard day? Here, read this. And look, he does. We need to read it. All the answers are right here. But when he left, he didn't just give his disciples the Bible. You know what he said? I'm leaving so that a comforter can come to you. And the Greek word that means the Greek word for that means someone that comes alongside you and gives you strength. All right, so let me tell you what I don't do well. And I actually pulled Roxanne aside last night and I had to ask her forgiveness because I don't do this well. I like to make a plan. All right, she tells me what's going on in her life. Here's 3 ways you can change that. That's just who I am. I do the same thing to my children. But here's what I have to understand. My wisdom, whatever it's worth, may give them guidance, but my compassion will give them strength. And that's worth so much more. And if we're going to show the love of God to someone, we not only commit to them for life, we not only serve them, especially in the little things, we have compassion for them when they're struggling. We care for them. We step into their suffering with them, even if, again, maybe we don't think it's that big a deal, but if it's that big a deal to them. And I tell you, that's where bonds are formed. You know, when you want to talk about community, community is not just getting people in the same place. That's a party. And they're usually all there for their own reasons. But if you look at the tightest communities, it's people that are under stress. It's a military unit. It's an athletic team. And they struggle together towards a goal. And they care for each other. Our family should be the same way. That we come together, look, I care for you. I care about your feelings. I care about your future. I care about your needs. I care about the things that hurt you. I'm with you. Even if I don't totally understand, I want you to know I'm with you through this. That's what God does for us. He doesn't just give us Proverbs. He gives us his presence. We've got to do the same thing for our family. As children dearly loved, be imitators of God and care for our family. And the last thing is this, and I'll close with it. We commit to them, we serve them, we care for them. And the last thing is we honor God in front of them. My favorite leadership verse, and it applies to family, business, ministry, every aspect of leadership, is 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says, follow me as I follow Christ. And the best way for me to show God's love to my family is to honor Christ in front of them. For them to see God modeled in front of them. Christ modeled in front of them. And a lot of times when our family is a mess, we focus on everyone else. If my kids would just start doing this, if my wife or my husband would just act this way, if my parents would just understand, or if grandma would just, you know, do this, and we focus on everyone else, and then here's what we do. We put our future, our hope, our happiness, our acceptance, our emotional and spiritual well-being in their hands, and we can't do a thing about it. And that's what we do. But instead, you know, I think God would tell us, when your family's a mess, why don't you let me do something in your life? Why don't you start by saying, God, what can you do in my heart? And it's amazing what God can do around us when we first let him do something in us. And the best way for me to show Jesus Christ and show the love of God to my family is to honor God in front of them and just say, God, you do your work in me. Let me start there by receiving your love, and then God, show me where I have not been an instrument of your love. I've been an instrument of anger, of dissension, of selfishness, of despair, and none of that has anything to do with your love. I want to be an instrument of your love. And it's amazing. God can change the world with someone totally committed to be an instrument of the love of Jesus Christ. You're here today. Every single one of us are here today because someone was committed to the love of Jesus Christ. Why do we not believe he can do that in our families? Say, God, just start the change that needs to happen. God, let it start in my heart.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.